First you told us only through you could we know God, and if we dared to question, he wouldn't spare the rod. For you we worked the soil, for you we dug the moors, for you we shed our blood and fought so many pointless wars. And now you try to tell us there's nothing we can do. You say the world around us belongs fairly to the few, but about 6 billion people no doubt will agree this world is our home, not your property. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who would enclose the land all around the earth, our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain, with our sweat we built the railroad.
The opinions expressed on corporations and democracy are those of our guests and the hosts, and not necessarily of the management of Mendocino County Public Broadcasting. We cut our intro music short a little bit today because we have a very busy schedule today. So welcome to Corporations and Democracy for March 20th, 2025. This is the program that examines how corporations dominate our democracy and what citizens are doing to replace corporate dominance with true democracy. I'm Steve Scalmanini with co-host Annie Esposito. In today's program, we'll have three guests in succession. For the first half hour, we will update the issue of election integrity in the November election, following up with Greg Pallast from our discussion in September about the newest technique of vote suppression that was underway at the time. And in the second half hour, we'll split that in two. First, we'll talk about how Indivisible has restarted here in Mendocino County. We'll be talking with Finn Alden, co-founder of Indivisible Ukiah. And then we'll discuss the upcoming course here in Mendocino County on people power over money power. And that'll be with Jim Tarbell of the Grassroots Institute. So our first guest, Greg Pallast, he was with us in September to discuss this new movie he produced titled Vigilantes, Inc., The New Voter Suppression Hitman. And we discussed the concerns that he had very well documented about the newest technique of throwing elections called unlimited voter challenges. It took a few months after the November election to get definite numbers for what really happened in the election. But now he has them, and he first reported those in late January in an article at his site titled, Trump Lost, Vote Suppression Won, Here Are the Numbers. So let's have a look at how the wrong president was elected yet again. Greg Pallast, welcome to Corporations and Democracy.
Glad to be with you again.
Yeah, thank you so much. You've been spending countless hours of your life in your persona as statistician with a lot of degrees in crunching numbers. What is your conclusion about the November presidential election?
Here's the bottom line, my friends. If it were not for Jim Crow vote suppression tactics, Kamala Harris would have won 3,565,000 votes more than she received. Ooh. That would have given her a 1.25 million vote margin in the election, popular vote. And more important, she'd have won Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. And this is through Jim Crow tactics, old and new, some very old that were brought back to life. Jim Crow was taken out of the crypt by the Trump campaign, including this thing, as you mentioned, which I go through in my film, Vigilantes, Inc. It's something that we haven't seen since 1946, America. So it's getting about, more than three quarters of a century ago. The Ku Klux Klan ran a campaign in the South, in Georgia, centered in Georgia, to remove every black voter by individual challenges. Now, that says that Greg Pallast can challenge your right to vote. Who am I? I'm not a government official. This is an individual challenge. Say, I know Steve, and no, he doesn't live in California. He shouldn't be allowed to vote here. Well, who am I to say that? The answer is I'm not wearing a white hood. I'm not using white sheets, but I'm using spreadsheets to target voters of color, Democratic voters. And this time around, in this past election, 2024, there were approximately 2 million challenges to individual voters by non-governmental challengers. That includes Trump's front group. The main group pushing this is a group called True the Vote, which is a Trump cat's paw, which sent out lists challenging 2 million American voters overwhelmingly. And I'm not guessing because we called them up, not 2 million. We called up about 800.
Mm-hmm.
That's a damn good sample. Overwhelmingly voters of color. It is really, really ugly. And if you think it's bad, Trump would not have gotten elected except for Jim Crow tactics, wait till 2026 when they really crank this stuff up. And that's why I'm still talking to you about it, because it ain't over and it's going to get worse. And, so if you go to gregpalace.com, you can read the numbers. You can read the numbers. And then the question is, what do we do about it? But, everything from mass purges of voters. And the reason I'm talking to you now, guys, is that, one of the big things that happened was that 4,776,706 voters were purged from the voter rolls. And of those nearly 5 million voters who were purged from the voter rolls without strong evidence, I analyzed that list of purged voters, and according to the experts we hired from Amazon and the post office, who kind of know where you live, Amazon, the post office between them. These were voters who were removed from voter rolls on grounds they didn't live at their voting address. In fact, 63%, 2 out of 3, did live at their voting address.
Mm-hmm.
But they were suspect voters because they were voters of color, including, for example, Christine Jordan, who was Martin Luther King's 92-year-old cousin. I was at the polling station when she was thrown out. She was on the list of voters purged because she didn't live in Atlanta. I went to her home down the street from the polling station in Atlanta. There was a picture of her with Martin Luther King at that house having dinner 50 years earlier with her.
Mm-hmm.
Same house.
And she was removed from the voter rolls. So it's not just when we talk about numbers, let's talk about people. Christine Jordan, Raheem Shabazz, another guy that was there at the same polling station, a black radio host. One voter, black voter after another. So I've been working with the NAACP. I did a technical report on this for the ACLU, by the way. This is all based on information, not from Greg Palast. I can't come up with these numbers. They're all mm-hmm. from. Almost every one of these numbers are from the Elections Assistance Commission, which is our official federal agency, which not only counts the number of votes cast and counted, but the number of votes cast and never counted, which in America is millions. And we don't in America understand or accept it, but it's in the federal official figures, including, in fact, just today I got from the state of Georgia a list of all the so-called provisional ballots, which were rejected. Now, if you're a white person, you may not know what a provisional ballot is. But if you're a black person, you certainly do. When they don't like your ID, they don't like your look, they don't like your name, they say your name is not on the voter rolls, you've been purged, whatever, challenged. What happens is they say, oh, don't worry about it. Here, we'll give you this provisional ballot. You fill out this envelope, fill out your name. Well, guess what? Nearly half, according to the federal government, 43.3% of provisional ballots are never counted. In Georgia, we just got, just today, I had to pay for all the data from all the counties of Georgia and found out that 59%, that is well over half of all provisional ballots in the state of Georgia, were rejected and never counted. Now, no one, not one person has said that a single one of these votes rejected. Not one. Was a fraudulent vote, someone not allowed to vote, because if someone is not allowed to vote and they attempt to vote, that's a felony crime. Mm-hmm. They didn't arrest anyone because these are not felons. Their only crime is voting while black. And that's how this election was taken from the American people by these tactics. So you want to tell me what the official number is? Yeah, I know the official numbers. The official Jim Crow numbers, just like in 1946, Eugene Talmadge of the Ku Klux Klan won the governorship of Georgia, but that was after removing most of the black people from the voter rolls. Mm-hmm. So you could say, yeah, he was legitimately elected. But today the Klan doesn't use white sheets. Their buddy Donald Trump, and I don't say that lightly, their buddy Donald Trump uses spreadsheets. So you have in my film Vigilantes, Inc., you'll see me confront one Georgia official who personally challenged 32,000 voters.
Incredible.
Another Georgia, and she works for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Mm-hmm. She's not, when I say official, she's a Republican Party official, not a government official. Mm-hmm. Another Republican Party official in Southern Georgia challenged 4,000 voters, most of them black soldiers out of Fort Benning, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And those soldiers, including, for example, one guy who's the center of our film, Major Gamaliel Turner. And Major Turner was assigned from the Fort Benning area where he has a home. He was assigned to California, to a base in California by the Pentagon. And he never got his absentee ballot. He said, where's my ballot? And they said, well, Mr. Turner, when he called his county officials, Mr. Turner, you've been challenged. He says, what does that mean? He says, no problem. Just kind of come in and prove you're a citizen, you live in Georgia. And he said, wait, I'm 2,600 miles away. I'm a military officer, and you want me to prove once again that I'm an American citizen. He says, I've been through this. I know what this is. He's a black man whose father was co-founder of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference mm-hmm. with Martin Luther King. And these are the people that they were knocking off. And I'm working with Black Voters Matter Fund, ACLU, NAACP, and others to change this, to try to challenge this challenge business. But if we don't do it this year is going to be the year of the big purge. Just so you know, I just said 5 million people were knocked off the voter rolls. They were knocked off mostly in 2023 because the purge of voter rolls happens the year before the election. So if we don't stop this ugly, racist mass purge of voters, if we don't stop this now, this year, 2026 is already gone.
Let me just mention to our listeners that these people that you've been talking about, our listeners can actually meet them through your film, Vigilantes Incorporated, at gregpalace.com, and you can watch it for free right now. It's very moving, those interviews with black people like Martin Luther King Jr.'s cousin, who worked side by side with him during the civil rights movement for the right to vote, only to have it stolen from her now, and how heartbreaking that was. It's just, they're very, very wonderful interviews that you've done. And then on the other side of the coin, you also interview these interesting people that go around challenging thousands of people that they don't know. They only know that they're not white.
Well, I should mention, if you want to watch the film, and Leonardo DiCaprio and Jamie Foxx have made it available for no cost, there's two ways to get it. One is gregpalace.com, where you can also get the follow-up information. That's G-R-E-G. P-A-L-A-S-T, gregpalace.com. On the right side, you can stream Vigilantes no cost, or just simply go straight to YouTube, where you can get Vigilantes, Inc., not Vigilantes, Vigilantes, Inc., America's New Vote Suppression Hitmen, and watch that gratis. And I need you to watch it. So you can be, it's, first of all, bring your popcorn. It is a film. It's entertaining. There's funny parts. There's sad parts. It's entertaining. It's a movie. And I want you to watch that, though. It's nonfiction, so that's what really makes it scary. But go to gregpalace.com, and you can also get these articles of mine, these investigations on the vote. So I appreciate your mentioning that. The important thing is that we get prepared and learn these tactics for 2026. I'm not partisan. I'm not here to elect a Democrat or Republican. That's up to the voters. But I think the voters, not vigilantes, should choose our president.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's been going around a lot, and you've tried to wrestle with this one, is that Trump made some comments that made it sound like him and his tech bros had the voting machines rigged. But in fact, you found out that it has nothing to do with voting machines.
Well,
it is just stolen votes, stolen from people of color who are suspected of voting Democrat.
Well, let me give you some numbers because, okay, I know it's an easy thing to just say, oh, well, Elon Musk, you know, he sent down spiders from Starlink in outer space and they fixed the voting machines. That didn't happen. And they call that owning the libs. They try to drive you crazy with that stuff and distract you from the real issue, which is good old fashioned Jim Crow vote suppression, going after mainly voters of color. But their idea of voters of color now includes young people who vote blue. So they're voters of color, women. We have to be. So what these are old Jim Crow tactics. For example, about 2,120,000 mail-in ballots were rejected. Now, you know, and Democrats, about 51% of Democrats, you're more likely by 51% to vote by mail if you're Democrat than Republican. And now, the number, according to good old NPR, 12.8% or about 1 in 7 mail-in ballots are never counted because they come up with ways to disqualify them. And whose ballots are not counted? The state of Washington actually decided to do an analysis of whose vote doesn't get counted. They said you're 400% more likely to have your ballot rejected if you're black than if you're white. And provisional ballots, those ballots I told you about, where they don't count half of them, in Georgia they don't count 59% of them. The answer is that if you're black, you're 300% more likely to get a provisional ballot than if you're white. That same holds true for Latinos and Asian Americans. If you have a spoiled ballot, that is a ballot you marked in precinct and didn't get counted because you filled in a bubble and you didn't fill in a bubble, you put an X or you made some extra mark on your ballot, the chance your ballot will be disqualified is 900% higher if you're black than if you're white. And that's not from Greg Palast. That's from the United States Civil Rights Commission. Professor Alan Lichtman did that analysis. So we're talking about Jim Crow here. And same thing with, like I said, so between challenges, purge ballots, spoiled ballots where, you know, ballots don't get counted that you've marked, rejected provisional ballots, things like registrations rejected, you know, they, in states like Georgia, you fill out that registration form, they can take 6-8 months to add your name to the voter rolls because they so-called have to verify it. And that has been devastating to voters in some of these southern states where they don't add your name automatically. They stall and stall. And who is that? We saw that, as you'll see in the film Vigilante, with Stacey Abrams' group. She registered in Georgia about 80,000 young people, 40,000 never made it to the voter rolls in time for the her election. And the, you know, and the courts refused to say put those people on the voter rolls, even though not one of them was declared an illegal voter.
Right. Yeah, no one prosecuted.
Yeah, you know, if there were illegal voters, I have a very simple solution. Arrest them. Throw them in prison. And if you attempt to vote, if you register to vote illegally, if you're an alien, you know, they talk about the alien voters. You know, I haven't seen any spaceships land in front of polling stations, but to keep talking about alien voters, arrest them, put them in prison. It's a felony crime, but they don't. The reason why they don't arrest them, they don't exist. They're just legal voters have been tossed off the voter rolls.
Let me toss out a number that you mentioned on the air a month ago. With, I think it was with Tom Hartman, the overall suppression factor is 2.3%.
Yes, that's the minimum vote suppression factor. And that's so it's you don't need to, in America, because of our crazy electoral system, it's very hard to steal an election through the popular vote, but you can. But for example, if you remember in 2000, I uncovered the fact that that the voters. Yeah. That 58,000 black men were removed from the voter rolls on the grounds they were felons. None of them were. And George Bush became president by 537 votes when you excluded 58,000 black men, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
and the thing is the so it only took 537 votes to elect that president. If we didn't have that crazy electoral college system, it would be much harder to steal these elections. It wouldn't be impossible, as you could see in this election, because Trump was able to actually scoop up 3.5 million votes that he didn't deserve.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned that number, the 2.3%. That's the vote suppression factor. Now, I looked at the numbers online, and the actual popular vote difference in the nation was 1.5%. So there's another half that much, which it could easily be measured to would have voted for Kamala Harris.
Yes.
And would make the difference. Now, that's popular vote, not electoral college. But when you do the numbers at the electoral college level and you look at what's going on in different states, you've come out with that numbers. If it wasn't for vote suppression in some key states.
Now, I want people to understand, because some people broadcast, oh, well, where's more information, please? I have a article, which is already long enough, 4,000 words, unusual for a column. But I've written about 4,000 papers on this topic, including many technical reports for the ACLU, NAACP, Black Voters Matter. So for those who want further information, please go to my site and actually look at the technical reports, because I go into federal court with these things. Understand, I am by training what's called a forensic economist. This is what I did for a living for the several attorneys general, the U.S. Department of Justice, and government agencies around the world, by the way, is doing these numbers. And I take these numbers into federal court. These are no joke numbers. These are what we get, what I present to in federal courtrooms. But of course, if they get more than an article, they get all the technical data. Understand, when we said that 63% of the people purged under this system, I wasn't guessing. We took the state of Georgia and we literally took every single name of every single voter purged from the voter rolls and ran them through the computers of the post office and, Amazon. And they told us, well, actually, they came up with the same answer that they gave to Harvard, Yale, and the University of Pennsylvania. These numbers are wrong by 2/3. These people have not moved. They still get their Amazon packages right there, and it's verified. And unlike the state, which uses one or two items to knock you off the voter rolls, Amazon uses up to 1,800 coordinates to make sure that they're delivering the tidy whities to the right Joe White. They don't make a mistake. It would be very costly. You understand? And we got special licenses, et cetera, from the post office, because we were mailing out to people notices. Hey, you've been wrongly removed from the voter rolls. Please re-register. I did that in coordination with Black Voters Matter. So what I'm saying, there's a solution here. If we know what's going on and we check these registrations and we take action, we can, they can't steal all the votes all the time, and we can beat Jim Crow. It can be done. It's been done. And that's the key thing. It's not whether, again, it's not partisan. It's not whether you love, hate Trump. That's not the issue. It's the tactics that are used to put him in office that was ugly.
But you're saying that it's going to happen again if we don't. And so what is it that we have to do?
Okay, a few things. I'm going to break it into two pieces. There's number one is start out by saving your own vote. Don't count on a political party or anyone else to do it for you. The way you save your vote to start with is to check your registration at least about 80, a couple months before an election. Please check your registration. Every state you can do it online. I know you can do it in California. By the way, California, I got knocked off the voter rolls.
And
I was literally on the air with another radio station. I said, it's really easy to check your voter registrations to see if you've been purged. And sure enough, I put in Greg Powell's and said, no such voter. But then you can re-register online right there. Do not, never, never, never register on one of those yellow pieces of paper. Don't register. The only time you should register on paper is if you're at the DMV and you're getting your license renewed, or you have to just do it online. That's and get a verification at that time. So that's saving your own vote. And tell all your neighbors, friends, loved ones, and hated ones, check your registration. The other thing is, in like 20 states now, including California, you can register on election day, same day registration. Mm-hmm. Bring every piece of ID showing your registration. Now, what do we do about this general issue of like the challenges, et cetera? There's two parts to the answer of how we save the next election from the vote vultures and the vote rustlers. Number one, you go to gregpalace.com and you take my article about how the election will be stolen. You send it out to all your mailing lists, all your massage groups, all your Wiccan organization, whatever you've got, send it around so people are warned. Second, join an organization that will take action. You mentioned Indivisible. There's also Black Voters Matter. There is the NAACP. I work a lot with the Reverend Jesse Jackson and Rainbow Push. These are the organizations on the front lines. And by the way, if anyone wants to show my film, we can arrange to have it shown gratis. We will send you the files, DVDs, you name it. Mm-hmm. We have it in various forms. If you want to have your organization, you can have, there's no problem in our giving you the film to have a showing and a discussion. So you take action. First, protect your own vote. Then you join an organization, take action, show the film, spread around the word, get the information out, because we've got one thing that's very powerful, the truth. The truth is a very powerful weapon. Believe it or not, it actually makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And I found that that's why I'm a journalist. I don't always, in my own country, I don't always get, I'm not always heard, but I can tell you this, it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Action makes a difference. Don't despair.
Couple of follow-up questions. One is, what luck are you having getting this out in the public eye, particularly here versus on the other side of the pond?
Well, as you know, for those who know me, I was an investigative reporter for both The Guardian and BBC Television. And so I was on the nightly news. I was on, I was the front page of the biggest paper, English language paper in the world. And so outside of my own country, I've gotten a lot of traction. Mm-hmm. The problem is inside America, where it's hard to get out the word that our elections are not the wonder that Joe Biden says they are. It was Joe Biden. This is one of the big problems we have. The Democratic Party is walking away from the issue of what we call vote suppression. And vote mm-hmm. suppression is a fun, polite word for shafting
yes.
mm-hmm. People of color out of their vote. And we have walked away from that completely. And in fact, when you have a guy like Joe Biden who says anyone who questions American elections, the wonder of American elections, is undermining democracy. No, Joe, it's the vote challengers. It's the KKK. It's the rioters. Those are the people undermining democracy. Greg Palast is not undermining democracy. Stacey Abrams is not undermining democracy when she cited my investigations to say that she would have won the election if not for these ugly Jim Crow tactics. Mm-hmm. And so that's the issue. Our media is still has trouble, and now especially with issues of race. And it really is still... we are still in the Jim Crow era. It's just that we've gone from white sheets to spreadsheets, and it's Jim Crow has gone into cyberspace, and that's the danger.
That's one thing that's really spelled out clearly in Vigilantes Incorporated is the through line from slavery to right now.
Okay, we need to leave it there for the day. This has been Corporations and Democracy. You're talking with Greg Palast, and his website to follow up is gregpalast.com, it is, I believe. Did I get that?
Yep.
Okay.
gregpalast.com. You got me.
And the movie's there, but so is the latest article talking about, well, there's one in January talking about what really happened in the November election and then what to expect in 2026 if we don't fix some problems. So... thank you indeed for being our guest. We appreciate you being on the air with us.
Thank you.
Always. I'll be back too. Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. And with that, we run on to our second guest for the evening. And we'll be talking about Indivisible and how it is restarted here in Mendocino County. We're talking with Finn Alden, the co-founder of Indivisible, Ukiah. And in interest of full disclosure, I need to mention that Annie and I did attend the most recent meeting of individual Ukiah. I think it was last week. And so with that, let's have a look at what Indivisible is doing in the county in a few different locations. Welcome to the air, Finn Alden.
Oh, thank you for hosting me. I'm glad to see you again.
And for listeners unfamiliar with a, tell me if I'm right here, a Norwegian accent, you'll have to listen closely.
Yes, I will try to speak clear and slow so people can hear me.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have a lot going on that you want to talk a little bit about Indivisible itself. It seems to me I heard that name before.
Yeah, indivisible.org is the nationwide organization. Our vision is to have a real democracy of, by, and for the people. We are consisting of a lot of small and large groups all over the country that are fighting for democracy and equal work for everyone in the United States. Locally, we are also saying publicly that we have no party affiliation. So we invite everyone to join if they want to. So that's basically what we are in general.
And you actually had a group before, I think, maybe during Trump won. And then I saw you doing a lot of stuff in the park, even, you know, all kinds of stuff for the community. And but now it seems like we're in the middle of an emergency and it's pulled back together again. I'm glad to see that.
Yes. We took a break during Biden. Because we didn't see him doing too bad things to the country. And we were pleased with most of what he did, especially in regard to the economy and the unions. And we would like more on the energy sector and the environment side, but it's what it is. Nationally, we are now reworking our targeting to put pressure on the elected officials. We want to stop the dismantling of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Affordable Care Act, EPA, and other departments, because we think you should take care of the citizens of the country first. That is the most important for any president or any elected official. So we are using phone calls, cards, letters, mimicking, humor, whatever we can to get their attention. So that's what we are doing on the national level.
So you asked, yeah. Go ahead.
On a state level, we are also working on trying to get them to focus on health and social care in general. But we are also wanting the elected officials to take a stand on pesticides and herbicides and try to get toxics out of our food if possible, because that will improve the health in general for people in California.
So there's several local Indivisible chapters, if that's what you would call them, right? There's Ukiah, Willits, on the coast, if there's one in Fort Bragg.
Actually, it's
Point Arena,
Mendocino Coast.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just noticed that on April 5th, there's a national mobilization courtesy of Indivisible, and some of the local Indivisibles are having actions or rallies on April 5th. The one in Ukiah at 10 in the morning in front of the courthouse, and the one in Fort Bragg, again, starts at 10, goes to the afternoon, and that's at Town Hall, of course. And then in Point Arena, there's one at Centennial Plaza starting at noon. So it looks like your group is pretty busy in Mendocino County.
Indivisible in general, yes. We are several local groups, and you can join into the one that is closest to you, just to make it easier to join in. We will present the information on who to contact. I don't know if you want that now.
Sure, let's go for it. At the Annie mentioned Point Arena a minute ago, and I didn't know if Point Arena has an active group or someone just is organizing something for April 5th. So I have information about the three of them, but please go ahead, and I'll just add in as necessary.
Yeah. Okay, so for Indivisible Ukiah, the easiest for signing up is to go to our website. It's inukiah.com. That's inukiah.com.
Okay.
We are also on Facebook and Blue Sky. Mm-hmm. You will find the links on our website. For Indivisible Village, Linda Grace is the person to contact. And her email is expectgrace@gmail.com.
Okay, let's spell that one out then. Expect Grace?
Yep. @gmail.com.
Okay, got expectgrace@gmail.com.
Yeah. And for the Mendocino Coast, it's Christy Olson Day. And her email is mendohuddle@gmail.com.
Okay, that one I have here. Mendo Huddle, like a football team, huddle. mendohuddle@gmail.com.
So for Indivisible in Ukiah, it's me and Janet Rosen, who are the main contact persons.
Okay. So, and then you guys, are you on a regular schedule for Second Tuesdays? Is that a thing that's set, or?
We are, but we are not going out to the location at the moment.
Okay, so, yeah.
We, those who sign up will get the information.
Okay, so you can sign up, send an email to.
Mm-hmm. You're going to send it to info@inukiah.com.
Okay, info@inukiah.com. Or go to the website, which is inukiah.com.
There's so much going on right now, and one of the big things that people are very worried about, immigration swooping down and taking some of our community members away. So I know that Indivisible supports the Latino community in that without stepping on it, because there's frontline workers with lists of people to respond to rumors and check them out and to witness should something come down for real. But you're a way for people to cooperate with other groups, right?
Yes. What our mission right now is to create a network with all organizations that we can find, because we are really concerned about the social structure if the tariffs go into place and if the Social Security and Medicaid will be reduced or removed completely. And so we are trying to prepare for the worst case scenario and try, but we are working for getting to the before that happens. That is what we are doing. But we are working with groups that are helping the Latino and other groups in our society. We are mainly an information for that kind of work. We prefer to say that everyone that's in the United States have the right to observe, photograph, and film of what is going on. However, do not interfere with federal agents and their activities. That is what we propose.
Yeah, I thought that was stated very well at your meeting. It was very helpful, I thought, some of the delineation that you put out there, you know, things that you should do and things that you probably shouldn't do. When we were at the Indivisible Ukiah meeting, I was glad to see that some of the other groups showed up. There's a Community Action Alliance that formed just around the current situation, and I know they're cooperating with Indivisible Ukiah. And then Karen Rifkin, she started every Friday in front of the courthouse in Ukiah at 5, and I think she's now working with Indivisible Ukiah also, right?
We work together. So we are contacting agencies in different areas. We have what we call subgroups. So we have the civil rights, immigration, LGBTQ, that's one group. Education and youth is the second. Environment and energy is one. Medical health and behavioral health is the biggest group. And the last one is food and water, because we are concerned about food supplies, if people are losing their homes and stuff, and the water, to make sure we have clean water and access to water for people. Great. And we would like to have people join into that group or have a group that's already formed, let us know about it so we can learn about what is being done in the community.
Okay, well, let me recap a couple things. The web address for Ukiah is the web address inukiah.com, or you can contact Finn directly at info@inukiah.com. For Willits, go to the email address expectgrace@gmail.com. And for Mendocino Village on the coast, contact the email address mendohuddle@gmail.com.
Right.
And with that, thanks for being with us. And I wish we had more time together, but we can add to it
in
the future if need be.
Can I just say one sentence?
Certainly.
Sure.
Keep your hopes up. I have faith in the United States and that we can correct what is going on.
Right.
All right. Thank you indeed.
I agree. There's no point in just feeling hopeless and going off and slinking in the corner. Get out there, fight. We're going to win it back.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks for being with us. Finn Alden, co-founder of Indivisible Ukiah. And with that, we'll move to our third guest for the day. And we'll be discussing a new upcoming course in Mendocino County that will take place live on the coast in the Fort Bragg location of Mendocino College, but also available by Zoom. And that's titled People Power Over Money Power. And our guest for the day is one of the organizers for the class, Jim Tarbell. He's with the Grassroots Institute, also pretty much headquartered over there on the North Coast. And he is a co-founder of the Grassroots Institute and a co-founder of this very radio series, Corporations and Democracy, and it was 27 years ago, if I remember correctly, Jim.
That's
so,
right.
Welcome to the air, Jim Tarbell.
Hey, it's so nice to be here. So nice you guys are carrying on.
Yeah, we do carry on.
It's an important topic.
You know, we pace ourselves month to month and just, you know, pick whatever looks really relevant and interesting for fundamental issues of democracy and put it out there. And so I hope it's well received.
There's a lot of topics to look at under that. That's what I've always enjoyed about that particular topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been busy because leading up to the election and in the aftermath, you've been busy with the Grassroots Institute having regular workshops to deal with whatever crises came up at that particular moment. We've had quite a few. Do you want to talk a little bit about the educational workshops that the Grassroots Institute has had on the coast surrounding this wild election?
Sure. So, you know, in 2020, we started a workshop on the election. So we started it, you know, like in January of 2020. But by the time we got to the election, we realized it wasn't over. So then we went on. But also, so this time, we started like a month before the election because we were confident that there were going to be some important issues that we wanted to cover going through the inauguration. And so we did that. We had guest speakers. We had 10 of those workshops. And it was a great event. We had 40 or 50 people, a lot of people on the hybrid Zoom. And we covered a lot of different topics. Each one was thematic. We had different guest speakers, including Elise Cox, the news director of KZYX, was in fact a guest on two of those workshops. But a lot of people, Donna Brownsey, who had passed California Coastal Commission chair, and other people here on the coast, Steve Antler and others, who have been very involved here and on in Mendocino County, throughout the county, been very involved in all those elections. And, of course, it you know, there was stuff to talk about. And here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still talking about it.
That's right.
So we're all feeling very threatened. And one of the things that you do is, well, quite a few things you do, but involve education and community. So what are you up to now?
Well, you know, we started these courses in 2015. We started a course called Grassroots Solutions to Corporate Power. I've been doing this program, Radio Corporations and Democracy. And then I started, I edited a publication for the Alliance for Democracy called Justice Rising, Grassroots Solutions to Corporate Power. So I had, you know, I talked to a lot of people, I knew a lot of people, and Kerry Durkee, our friend here on the coast, was doing some classes around county resolution supporting move to amend to create a constitutional amendment that would make it so the corporations didn't have personhood and that money was not speech. And we got together at one point, and she invited me to come to one of these workshops she was having. And then she said, well, you know, this stuff we're doing isn't quite as up to date as what you're doing. Why don't you create your own workshop? So then Carrie and I together created these workshops, and we taught these courses at Mendocino Coast and Ukiah and Willits at the Mendocino College campuses. And it was a great experience. And we moved on to another program called Building Economy for the Common Good in Mendocino County. And then kind of over the pandemic, that whole branch of what we were doing kind of faded away because we couldn't really come together and have those classes. But the Grassroots Institute moved in other directions and created these work groups that have been doing a lot of work and a lot of success. A lot of people from the inland area are involved. Well, there's a group on the climate crisis and a group on saving the NOAA headlands over here on the coast. And it's been very successful, but now we've decided to re-energize our educational program. And so we're starting this course again. So it's really just an update of our Grassroots Solutions to Corporate Power class. But we're calling it Money Power or People Power over Money Power, because the money is so apparent. These are the billionaires coming in and really, you know, pressing their agenda to lower the cost of the government so they don't have to pay so much taxes and get rid of regulation and all the stuff that they've wanted to do for years and years. And they're at it. So, you know, there's for a long, long time through all the history of democracy, there's been a big conflict between money power and people power. Money power is always trying to force its way in, and we just have to stand up and stop it. And so what we've done, we've looked at the systemic problems in our political system, in our economic system, in our relationship to the environment and around globalization. And we look for solutions to those systemic problems so that we can change them, so we can create this new world with these new institutions and a new way of living to get past these problems of money power being so powerful.
Yeah, this is like, it's so blatant right now. I think before they had a little decorum about all of their morbidly rich holdings, but now it's just really, you know, robber barons again.
Oh, more than robber barons. They're doing ads for Tesla on the grounds of the White House. It's bizarre and it's crazy. And it's crazy if the American people are going along with it. I mean, I have a hard time understanding what's happening out there.
I sure second that one.
Well, but, if you heard our earlier guest, they're not all going along with it. A lot of the especially black voters, millions have been purged and had their votes taken away, and enough to make the difference in that election.
I caught the last few minutes of Greg Palast. What a wonderful guy. And we're going to include him. He's going to be part of these workshops, at least his movies, and his take on purging of the voter rolls.
Yeah.
Critical, you know, what's really happened to our elections.
Mm-hmm. So I see one of your main topics here is money in democracy. And can you have money in democracy? Is it still a democracy?
Yeah. Well, you know, in the Greek times, you know, the philosophers Aristotle and Plato, they all said, you know, you can't have a democracy in an unequal society. You know, it has to be, all the participants have to be economic equals. So we don't live that way. That's not the way this world is. We have a system that makes the rich richer and the poor poorer. And, you know, it's not fair, Annie and Steve. It's not fair. But, you know, what's our choice? What's our choice? We just have to do it. You know, we have this long timeline from these courses on corporate rights and people's rights. And the lesson out of that long timeline, starting from like 1819 or even earlier, is that when people got rights, they had to fight for them. They had to have a civil war to get rid of slavery. Women's had to, protest and campaign for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
They got the right to vote. But when the corporations get rights, they get their lawyers under the Supreme Court, and with a twist of the pen, suddenly they have all these rights.
There's been several along the way. Some listeners will know about the there's a long chart, history of corporate rights that exists. I think it's out there on the internet. You can find it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, that corporate rights chart.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That was someone from Point Arena put that together.
Initially. Right. I'm sure there's a copy at the AllianceForDemocracy.org.
Yeah, and Jan Edwards.
Jan Edwards, mm-hmm.
Who was one of the hosts on this program for many years,
mm-hmm.
Was really the impetus behind that.
Well, our inequality has gotten so severe, I think that what we're looking at right now is a logical outcome of that kind of hollowing out of the middle class. So.
So that's what we look at. We look at how that happened, why it happened, what the assumptions were. You know, our capitalist economic system was theorized and put into academia by the people like David Ricardo and John Stuart Mills. But what they don't ever tell you is that David Ricardo was a very wealthy London stockbroker. And so all the assumptions of our system is the view of the wealthy London stockbrokers. And John Stuart Mills' father, James Mills, was a very good friend of Ricardo's and was also a very wealthy stockbroker. And John Stuart Mills was an executive for the British East India Company, the hugest original monopoly in the world.
So, yes.
That's what they're saying. Their assumptions were things like, well, we'll never run out of resources. Or their assumption was, well, the workers, we only have to pay them subsistence wages. They don't need any more than that.
Mm-hmm. No.
Or they would say, well, you know, all these natural systems, the climate, all that, they don't have any value unless we can sell it. So... You know, the market is not, and the invisible hand, the idea of the invisible hand is such a hoax because the market is one of our biggest problems. You know, doesn't think about pollution. It doesn't think about, depletion of resources. We have so many problems caused by the market, and that's what they're pushing. They're pushing. They want to get rid of the government and have the market run everything. So
and
that's what we with our classes.
Yeah, it's relentless too, no matter how endangered the planet is, the dollar is still takes precedence. It's quite astounding.
Yeah.
So back to the course that's coming up then. It'll be starting on April 5th. That's a Sunday, and every second Sunday, I should say every other Sunday after that.
Saturday is a Saturday.
Oh, it's Saturdays. Oops. I'm sorry. Got wrong on my calendar then. Okay. On Saturdays, April 5th, the 19th, then May 3rd, May 17th, and May 31st.
And they're free.
And it's free. It's at Mendocino College. It would be good if people signed up. They can go to our website, Grassroots Institute. It's grassroots-institute.org, and go to the courses and go to Money Power or People Power, and you can connect with an Eventbrite page that will let you sign up. And Mendocino College has been very good about this. They've waived all the fees. They've said, you know, you guys can just come and do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we were excited about that. They've been very good to us.
That is great. That's a real community college.
And once again, that's www.grassroots-institute.org.
That's it.
Then there's a courses tab in there. Just select the courses.
And the course is going to be online as well. So we're putting all these materials online, and you can access them all there, or you can come to the class. The class is in the past was really a great experience of just creating a community of people concerned about these things and understanding how we got to where we are and why we're here and what we can do about it and what some of the great examples out there are that are already existing that are helping solve these problems.
That's right. And produce very happy nations. If you heard that bit of news today from NPR, once again, for the, I think it's the seventh year in a row, the happiest nation on earth is Finland.
Oh, did they really talk about that?
It was mentioned. It was Finland again, yet again.
Yeah, the happiness index, you know, in the United States peaked in like the 60s and 70s. Has been dropping ever since.
And it dropped again this year. That was mentioned on the news report today. So the U.S. dropped, I don't know how much.
I'm not surprised about that.
One thing that happened to me is I was an economics major in Washington, D.C. at the American University. And I had a very unusual education because in that department, instead of talking about maximizing corporate profits, they talked about maximizing the utils of happiness. A lot of that is where a lot of this economic stuff comes from, because they would teach us, take half a semester to teach us the theory and the second half to tear it down.
Oh, yeah. So it's very...
Give you both sides.
Yeah, see both sides.
I picked up one of those textbooks one time when I was helping my kid with her economics class. I thought, oh, my God. It was like, it was so built on what you mentioned before, all of these... British stockbrokers and stuff. So you have four pillars here: money and democracy, economics, environment, and globalization.
That's right.
Okay. And again, the information is at the web address, grassroots-institute.org. We've been speaking with Jim Tarbell, and he's helping organize the class. It'll be in person at the Fort Bragg campus of the Mendocino College and also available by Zoom. And thank you for being our guest. We need to wrap it up. We go off the air in 30 seconds.
Right. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Jim.
And this has been Corporations and Democracy. We're here on third Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. We'll be back on April 17th. And for further information about the kind of things we discuss here, including that long chart of corporate rights, you can go to thealliancefordemocracy.org. Thanks for listening.